Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for Christmas Day comes from our gospel reading of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. In the name of Jesus. Amen. In the beginning was the Word. That's Jesus. Or more specifically, the pre-incarnate Christ, the second person of the Trinity. This is John's way of speaking about the eternalness of Christ. It's also his way of speaking about his divinity. The Son is one with the Father. The Son is eternal with the Father, along with the Holy Spirit, although he's usually known as the silent partner, always pointing to the Son. And so the Son is eternal with the Father, both God, and yet there is only one God. And while we usually attribute the things of creation with the first person of the Trinity, that's how we talk about it in our small catechism, if you remember, John makes sure to let us know that creation is not just the work of the Father, but it's also the work of the Son. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that has been made. The Father creates, and yet he does so through his Son, speaks all things into existence through that eternal Word. Everything. Everything that has ever been made and has its being in the eternal Son. The magnificence of the heavens, stars expanding through light years, planets and solar systems revolving around myriad stars, spiraling throughout galaxies in a complexity far too great for our finite brains to fathom. And it's all governed by unseen properties and laws that we place in the language of physics, all of this spoken into existence by God through his Word. And the things of the terrestrial, too. These are the things that we can touch and taste and smell and observe. The mighty redwoods to the smallest of mustard seeds. The rainforests of the Amazon to the deserts of the Sahara. The deep places of the ocean all the way to the highest tips of the Himalayas. All of these things spoken into existence by God and his Word. Plants and animals and rocks. Subatomic particles, genetic codes, everything the work of his mighty creation, none of it an accident, none of it done by chance, but all of it designed and planned out and made in perfection, capped off by you, by us, by mankind, by the only thing made in his image. This is the God who we have, a God who creates because he loves. A God who reveals himself through his Word. A God who gives all things and all things that are good and asks for nothing in return. I know it might sound a little bit strange to be talking about creation on Christmas Day, but John, I think he has a point in doing so. He wants you to grasp the enormity of the situation. He wants you to stop and ponder, to think about and meditate. To try and wrap your little brains around the vast difference between the creator of everything and his creation. Yes, measure it in size or eternalness. Think about the omnis, the all-everythingness of God, and contrast that with the finiteness of us and this world. No matter how vast and wide and wonderful and great this creation is that we live in, there is a God outside of it, greater and bigger and vastly more vast, who spoke it all into existence and upholds it with his mighty hand. But darkness has come upon this once light-filled creation, and it's a deep darkness, a sad darkness, a darkness that reaches into the depths, worms its way into all of the cracks. It's a darkness that has corrupted the perfection of the creation that God and his Word proclaimed and created. Say what you will about this darkness, speak about it in whatever ways you might, but the inevitability of this darkness is that through sin it brings death. Corrupted and diseased and dying is this once vibrant creation, And it is the pinnacle that caused this landslide into the deep darkness. It's you, it's me, it's mankind. It's the very part of creation that held the image of God, made the rest of creation complete, brought forth the words, "It is very good." It's that part of creation that has brought death upon everything that we know. And as beautiful as creation is, as beautiful as it was before it was ripped into the darkness, as wonderful as the trees are and the waves and the moon and the birds were and are and will be, they're not the things that God loves. I mean, he does love them, of course, but in a different way. For these things he did not create for his own pleasure or enjoyment, but for ours. And so if they're fallen, then they're fallen because we're fallen. And if they're to be restored, then they're going to be restored for our good, not their own. For God did not become incarnate as a rock or a tree. He did not take on the form of a sloth or even the majesty of a lion. He did not even take on the form of an angel, but he took on the form of man, and not just the form, but flesh. Didn't just look the part, but actually became. And he did not just become to once again shed off later, but he became to become for eternity. And so the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And there is something to ponder, if ever there was. That which spoke all things into existence, of which all things to this very day have life and are upheld, this infinite God of all-powerful nature, who knows all things, has now become man. The all-everything God has confined himself to the finite things of human. He's given himself fingers and toes and eyes and ears. He's given himself flesh and blood, and bones, and sinews. This Christmas day, ponder that. For certain, ponder that. If your mind can grasp it, if your heart can take it in, you have a God who loves you so very much that he desired to be one of you, one with you. And know for certain that not for one single instance did he ever ask you to climb the ladder and become more divine. Although that was certainly what was tempted of us and what Satan used to cover this world in such deep, sad darkness. But he didn't ask for that. Instead, he came down from heaven and became man, the infinite housed in the finite, the invisible now visible, the one who is everywhere all at once, placed himself in the womb of a virgin, later to be placed in a manger. God of infinite everything, now a bundle of joy the size of a baby, cooing and cawing and blinking his newborn eyes. And while you're still pondering the impossibility of all of that, ponder something more. God did not just become man, just to become man, but he came man so that we could see his glory. Glory as of the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. But this glory is not the things of the divine that we would think it would be. For who among us could fathom such things? Who among us sinners could comprehend the almighty and eternal glory of a good and perfect God? No, the glory that John speaks about, the glory that he saw and makes known to us this morning, is not the glory of the infinite, but the glory of the finite. For even as we ponder the glory of the infinite balled up into the baby of the manger, there is a greater glory that we must behold. And the angels, they sang about that glory on the first Christmas morning. It was that glory that brings peace to mankind, a glory that promises new creation, a glory that grants life and salvation and light when all that there was is death and condemnation and deep, sad darkness. Well, the world did not know him, still does not know him. He came to his own creation. The God who spoke men and women into existence came to them and stood before them. He spoke once again, spoke of who he was to them, speaks to the world and to everyone in it of who he was and who he is and who he will always be, but we did not know him. And ponder that too. How can creation not know its creator? It seems impossible, but that's how far into the deep, sad darkness creation has fallen. But this mattered not to the God in the flesh, almost as if he knew all along that this is how it would be, almost as if this is how it must be. So on to his glory. For the glory that we see, the glory that John witnessed, and that he and the rest of the apostles have proclaimed into this fallen world so that we can hear about it 2,000 years later, is not just the glory of Bethlehem, but the glory of Calvary. It's not just the glory of the manger, but it's the glory of the cross. Despised and rejected by his own creation, the Creator went silently to the cross. For that was the only place in which salvation could be found. As bright as the star shone that first Christmas morning, a light shining in the darkness so that shepherds and later kings could come and worship the infant child, that light pales in comparison to the light that shines from the cross. It is the death of God in the person of Christ which enlightens the world and redeems all of creation. But you might ask, how can the author of life be subjected to death? But that's like asking, how can the infinite be housed in the finite? And how can God become man? And how can bread be flesh and wine blood? It's a mystery without explanation, but a mystery that speaks to the fullness of his glory. And this is the glory that we sit in this morning, the glory of a God who has taken on our flesh and dwelt among us, still dwells as one of us, still to this very day is both God and man. We remember and we celebrate this glory, this Christmas day. This little bundle of infiniteness all swaddled up to nurse at his mother's breast. But the glory of God is more than just the incarnation. It must be. For the incarnation means nothing without the crucifixion, and the crucifixion means nothing without the resurrection. And so the glory of God is found in a manger, is found on a cross, is not found in a tomb, but is found outside of that tomb, alive. The glory of God is found seated at the right hand of the Father in the person of Christ, in the form of man. And all of this is now given to you. Just one more thing to ponder. You, who have been seated in deep, sad darkness, you've seen a great light. And you've been given the right to become children of God, which is what and who you are. Children of the Father, birthed from the life and death and resurrection of his infinite Son incarnate. You brought from sinner to saint. You brought from death to life. You, a child of God. Ponder that and everything else this Christmas morning. In the name of Jesus.